Well, remember, we're talking about the second return of Jesus Christ, the end times, basically, we're talking about. Remember? And now Jesus is going to give us two parables. We'll finish two parables this morning, which ought to finish off the chapter. He's going to talk about what the kingdom of heaven is like. Now remember, he said that no man knows the day or the hour that the Son of Man will return, speaking of his second coming. Now, the parable begins this way. For the kingdom of heaven, at verse 14, chapter 25, verse 14, is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Now remember, Jesus is leaving. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. But then he said, I'm coming back. Now he's talking about his second coming, but also for the church. I believe he will come back. We will meet with him in the air, as you see 1 Thessalonians talking about. And he's going to meet with us and rapture his church. But he will come again a second time and set his feet on the Mount of Olives. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But what he's saying now is, here's the parable. The kingdom of heaven is like this. A man who owns everything is traveling into a far country. He's going to go away. So what he does, he calls those servants that are his. Now, what the Bible says is his own servants. Those are his servants. And he delivered unto them his goods. Now, what did he leave with them? What belonged to him? Who does it belong to? It belongs to him. Okay, now don't miss that. Or you'll miss it if you miss it. You may quote me. And unto one, he gave five talents. Now, a talent was usually of silver and would weigh over 50 pounds. Some say 50, between 50 and 80 pounds. So if you figure what silver is per ounce today, and you figure that and say, divide by six, carry that, you're talking about over $5,000 in one talent. And so he gave one five talents. To another he gave two, and to another he gave one. To every man according to his several ability, and immediately he went away. He took his journey. He gave to his servants what was his, to each one according to their ability. Do you understand now? The kingdom of heaven is like this. Jesus is the one that's going to go away. He's talking about his return. Now he says the kingdom of heaven is like this. A man is going to go on a long journey. He's going to go away. And he leaves with his servants stuff that is his. One servant he gave five, one servant he gave two, and one he gave one. And then immediately he was gone. He left. Now he said he'd be coming back. So see, Jesus has left with his servants talents. Now I don't believe for one moment that we're only talking about money. Remember, this is just a parable. So we're not just talking about money. I think we're talking about money, energy, time, talents and abilities. What this tells me, or really reminds me, is what I have, even if it's only one compared to year five and compared to year two, what I have, he has given it to me. It's his. It's not really mine, but he's given it to me. And he's gone, and he's going to come back someday. Let me read it to you. We read this. After immediately he took his journey, verse 60, then he that had received the five talents, he went and worked with them, traded them, and he made another five. He doubled that. Now whose was it? It was his master's. And whose is it still? It's his master's. It's not this man's. But he worked with it. He developed it. And he was able to double that. Now there are 10 instead of 5. And the Bible goes on to say, likewise, or in the same manner, he that had received two also gained another two. He doubled his. But the one that had received one, he went and digged a hole in the backyard in the earth, and he hid his Lord's money. He buried it in the ground. Notice a couple of things. The master, their Lord, he gave them these talents based on their own ability. Each individual ability. Isn't that what it says? I'll read it to you again. To every man he gave according to his several ability. According to his ability. According to his individual abilities. As these people were able. Now when I was in high school, yes I did go to high school. It doesn't show, I realize, but I've grown out of that. And you see, when I was in high school, there was this girl, a good friend of mine. We were just good friends, but she had, as far as I'm concerned, an amazing ability. She'd say, "Bob, hold your hand up." And I would hold my hand up. And then just quickly in class, when we were supposed to be doing other things, she would draw it and hold it up, and it looked exactly like it. She'd say, "Bob, hold your face up." I'd say, "I am. I mean, this is it." And she would draw it, and it really would look that way. And I told her, "Man, I do stick figures, and people can't tell what they are." I think, "You left me out, God. Look at the way she can draw." I say, "What are you going to do?" She says, "You know, I'm going to go to college. I'm going to study this. I want to use this art. I want to use this ability." And I think, "I can't even draw a stick figure. You, gee." And what we do is we do get into this pattern of recognizing that guy over there, he's got 5. And that guy, that girl, she has 2. I'm not even sure I have 1. Do you notice God gives according to our abilities? Now, God made me and you. And so God gives to me how He made me. He knows how I'm built. He knows what I can do. He knows what my abilities are. I don't. I always tell Him I can handle more. Do you? "Oh, Lord, pour it on. I can handle it." And then I'm dropping it. "Well, I forgot what I did with it." And God says, "Here, you just hold this. Just one, Bob. Just one." And I'm going, "I can't do stick figures." But God has given to His servants something. So all of you have something. Now, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with your money? As a young pastor, just brand new pastor, my wife and I, they didn't pay us a lot. Our rent was $350 a month, and they paid us $300. The church was able to pay us that, and we were thrilled. We were thanking the Lord, but we couldn't make ends meet. And so you know what we weren't doing? We were not giving God any of it. Because I thought, well, rent's $350, plus I got to pay utilities. I only have $300. Now, some people told me 10%. I thought, "I can't give you $30, God. I give you $30, that takes me just deeper in the hole." And sure enough, what I was doing with my money wasn't what He wanted. And so therefore, nothing ever worked for me. It wouldn't work. And I was reading through the Bible one time, read Malachi chapter 3, and God said, "You're robbing from me. How can a man rob God? You are not. I'm giving you, but you're holding out." So my wife and I decided that you know what? We ought to give God something of what He's given. It's His. I had forgotten it was all His. I thought I earned it. And you know, we started to give Him a simple amount. You decide in your own heart what you want to give Him, and we did. And we thought, we're the pastor and the pastor's wife. We ought to at least set an example. Got a church of 40. Want them to learn. And so we began to give God. Do you know something? The math to this day still doesn't work out. But God kept His promise. And you know, that's what I was doing with my money. Wasn't right. I had forgotten it was His. So maybe, what has He given you? Time. What are you doing with your time? Because you're spending it. I know you are. And I've noticed something about us, nothing personal, but don't we spend it on how we want? See, because I can look and say, "I got to cut my grass." But you know, I just don't have time because I want to do this. And I catch myself doing what I want. How about your energy? You've got what health you've got. You say, "Well, my health isn't real good." But at least you're sitting upright, most of you, right now. So you've got some kind of energy and some kind of health. How are you spending it? Because you keep thinking it's yours, but it's not. How are you spending what you've got? How about your talent or your abilities? How are you spending them? Now notice, the one man who God gave him quite a bit, He gave him 5 of these. That one man was able to work with them and develop them and double them. But they doubled them for God and for God alone, or for the master. The one was given 2. You don't complain that you've only been given 2 and he's been given 5 or she's been given 5. What you do is you say, "This is what God has allowed me to be able to do. I want to do it for God. This is what I want to do." Now, of course, you do need to work. The Bible says if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. Women point that out to me all the time. Well, I'm a woman. I don't have, but I mean, really, if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. And so we should earn a living. Some are able. But notice, this parable is about faithfulness. Because look what we see. After a long time, verse 19, the Lord of those servants returned. He came back. He said he would. He came back and he reckoned with them. Do you know that Jesus is coming back? And my sins are forgiven only because I've asked Jesus into my life. That's why I can say I'm going to heaven. No other reason. So my sins are gone. They're washed away. But he's still going to reckon with me. He, when he comes back, when he raptures his church, he's going to reckon with me. He's going to say, Bob, this is what I allowed in your life. You know, I do a little bit with music. And people say it's hereditary. Not if you met my parents. My dad plays the CD with help and instructions and reading the book. I do have two uncles that played at the Grand Ole Opry in the 1940s. One banjo, one guitar. No, the uncles were men. But I mean, one played a banjo and one played a guitar. It's a difficult language, isn't it? How you can say these things. And did I inherit it from them? I doubt it. I think God has a lot. That 16-year-old who could draw, I think God built her that way. I really do. I hope that she's using it for the Lord. God built you the way you are, and that's why he gives to you according to your ability. He knows how he built you. He knows what you can handle. He's given you an ability, a talent. He's given you the health that you've got. He's given you the time that's on your hands. And all of it together, he says, now I'll come back. I'm going away. I'm going to leave this with you. Well, gee, you didn't give me much. You know, the danger with us is those of us who only have one compared to some of these people we see that can do everything. You look at them, you think, that girl can do anything. And I can't do anything myself. Too many people, the danger of thinking you can't do anything, there's a danger in taking that and burying it. See, when you have someone like that artist girl in high school, she says, I do this and I enjoy it and it turns out well. I'm going to develop it. You get a musician, they start to enjoy it. It's turning out well, they begin to develop it. But you get a guy like me who says, I can't walk and chew gum. There's nothing to develop. I'm just going to go bury it in the backyard. You say, and I hear Christians say, I can't do anything. And so you ask them, can you hear? And they say, what? No, really, can you hear? They say, well, yes. Then call someone and listen to them. Just call them and say, I just want to see how you're doing. How are you doing? Go visit the care center, some of the elderly people who can't get out. Because you can hear, right? Right. Just go sit with them and listen to them and let them tell you about when they were young or tell you about how their kids are. Just listen to them. Can you change diapers? You say, I've raised 7 kids and all of them had diapers, sort of, at least for once. Then you know what? Go and help someone's children in the nursery. Just take a time. See, because you've got the time, you've got the money, you've got the energy, you've got the talents and abilities, but you say, well, mine's nothing compared to others. Do you notice that when God comes back, he's not going to compare them to themselves, to each other? Let me show you what I mean. He reckons with the servants. He said to the one that had received 5, and the one that received 5 came to him and brought another 5, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5. Behold, I have doubled it, and there's 5 more. This is yours. The 5 that I have are yours, and the 5 that I've been able to develop, that's yours too. Everything is yours. I give it to you. And his Lord said to him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Notice it's about faithfulness. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Now notice what he says to the guy with 2. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you gave me 2, and behold, I have doubled it. I have been able to work with it and use it, and now I'm giving you 4. And God said, you lazy bum, the guy that had 10, you only got 4? That's not even 50%. What is your problem? Wait a minute. Does your Bible say that? I was making that up. Notice God doesn't say, wait a minute, he had 5, you only got 2? No, God knows. The Lord knows I left you with 2, and I'm just talking to you about your 2. I'm not expecting you to be like her. Don't, Bob, you don't have to be able to draw. I'm not asking you to be like her. But what I've given you that's mine for you to use, have you used it? How have you used it? Have you been faithful with it? And the one that had 2 said, yes, here are your 2 and 2 more. I was able to use them and now there's 4. Notice the reaction from the master is the same thing. Verse 23. His Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Notice it doesn't come into play how many whoever had. God is looking at that person and saying, "You've been faithful. Good and faithful servant. Enter in." Well, then he, verse 24, which had received the one, came and said this to the Lord, to the master, "I knew that you are a hard man." Notice the relationship is not too good here. "You reap where you don't sow, you gather where you have not strawed. And I was afraid, and I went and hid the talent in the earth, your talent, and lo, here it is. I'm giving you back what's yours." Well, his Lord answered and said, verse 26, "You wicked and lazy servant. You knew that I reap where I didn't sow." In other words, if that's how you see me, well, in your mind, I reap where I don't sow. I sow where I have, I gather where I have not strawed. He says, "You could have at least, therefore, put my money to the bank. And at my coming back, I would have received my own money back with interest. The least you could have done, even if you didn't take it and develop it and use it, you could have put it in the bank and at least collected a little bit of interest." The danger for you and I is that we will, if we see ourselves as unable and incompetent in areas, the danger is to go put it away and do nothing with it. And so God says, the Lord says, "Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him which has 10. For unto everyone that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance. And but from him that has not shall be taken away even that which he has. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." It's a parable. What's its point? Faithfulness. Remembering my health comes from the Lord. My money comes from the Lord. My time comes from the Lord. My ability, if I have any at all, whether it's 5 or 2 or 1, whatever it is, comes from the Lord. Your money, your time, your energy, health, your talent and ability, those are from the Lord. You say, "I'm His." Then He's allowed you to hold those for Him and to use them and to develop them for His kingdom. That's what faithfulness is all about. I don't complain that I can't do what you can do. I just say, "Lord, whatever I can do, let me do it." So you need to start finding ways, looking for ways. You need to just seek the Lord on these things. And remember, the danger of burying that is very high when you think you don't have. When you start to not have a relationship with the Lord. When there's not a real, true love for the Master. And you start to think He's harsh, He's mean, He's going to rip me off. You're not going to spend your life for Him. You're going to be hiding it out and try to spend it on yourself. If you try to spend it on yourself, you lose it. Notice that? All the years that we wasted on ourselves, they're wasted years. We were talking this morning, a couple of people, it just came up. How days go passing into years, and years go passing day by day. And you wake up the day after you graduated from high school. You wake up and you're 50 years old. And you're thinking, where did it go? What did I spend it on? How did I use it? How much money have I had in my hands since 1970? I have a 30-year class reunion coming up. Oh, I graduated when I was 6. That's why. And I think, Lord, how much? Why are you laughing? How much has gone through my life since then, and what have I done with it? Because to tell you the truth, to be honest with you, I can't remember. But I know this. He knows. He knows how much he's given to me. And he knows. And I think, well, you could worry about yesterday, but that'd be a waste of energy. Or you could really ask God for the seriousness from this day forward. Now, another parable. When the Son of Man returns, or shall come in his glory, verse 31, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Second coming, when he comes to earth, he's talking about. Remember, he's going to set his foot on the Mount of Olives, Zechariah says, and it's going to split open. There's going to be a brand new valley. Valley that's never been before. Brand new valley. Now, Joel tells us what he calls it. Joel, in chapter 3, verse 14, says, multitudes in the valley of decision. Brand new valley. For the day of the Lord is near in the valley of decision. It's a time when Jesus says, before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides sheep from goats. He shall set the sheep at his right hand, the goats at his left hand. And the king will say to them on his right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, verse 34, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. We're talking about the millennial kingdom, the 1,000-year reign. He's saying, you come on into this kingdom that's been prepared for you. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked and you clothed me. Sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came and visited me there. And the righteous are going to say, Lord, when did we see you hungry, feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you? We never saw you hungry or thirsty or sick. We didn't see. When did we do that? We're not complaining. We don't remember when we did that. When did we do that? And he said, king shall answer and say to them, truly I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me. Now, this is at his second coming. He's going to say that. This is a literal event that's going to be fulfilled. It's going to happen soon. At his second coming, he's going to grab all the nations that are left after the great tribulation. Those that are still living will be judged, and some will enter into the kingdom and some won't. Who then, if it's a literal thing that happens, who are his brethren? I believe he's referring to the Jews. Even though the principle is for us today, remember, learn the principle, but keep in mind that this is a literal, actual event that will happen right after the Great Tribulation when he sets his foot down. There's that new valley, multitudes in the valley of decision. Now, it's too late to make the decision. There they are. They're in that valley. And some will be sheep and some will be goats. And it will be based on what they did or didn't do. Now, some of you misunderstand that, and you think that's how you're being judged, or what you did or you didn't do. No, salvation is by grace through faith. Don't you understand that you're saved because Jesus comes into your life? It's a free gift. It's not what you do and don't do. It's whether you ask Jesus Christ in your heart, whether you're really born again or not. But the literal fulfilling of this is going to take place when he separates the sheep from the goats. And he's going to let some enter in because they have shown a kindness to the Jews. And during the Great Tribulation, the Jews will be persecuted more heavily than at all the times on the earth before. Then he's going to say to those on his left hand, verse 41, you depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. Excuse me. I was a stranger, you took me not in. Naked and you clothed me not. Sick and in prison and you did not visit. You didn't show kindness. And they're going to say to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry? Or thirsty? Or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and didn't minister to you. When was that? We don't remember that. Then he's going to answer them and say, truly I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. Lord, if we'd have known that was you, we'd have taken you out for a cup of coffee and a donut. No, you didn't show kindness, and you didn't do it to the least of these, and so you didn't do it to me. The principle is for us today, always to show kindness, especially to, I believe, to the nation of Israel. You know, the world has turned its back on Israel. I believe the United States is doing the same thing. And I hear, and I'm not really heavy into politics, but when I hear political leaders turning their backs on Israel, I think, I can't vote for that person. I can't. Why? Because the promise God made Abraham so many years ago is still in effect. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. But remember, the principle here is for all of us to learn, even though this is a literal event that will take place. The church will have been raptured. We're coming back with Jesus. The church is saved by grace. You're living in a period of grace right now. Now's the time to come to a saving knowledge. Now, while it is free and the offer stands that anyone can come in any condition, in any position, you can come. He doesn't care where you've come from. He cares where you're going. You say, I am too gross. I am too filthy. You don't know what I've done. But God, the Son, died for your sins. Come now while there is grace. Come now while you have an opportunity. Because when the church is raptured, the door is shut, the clock strikes midnight, and a whole dispensation begins a whole different way. And you'll see these people somewhat enter into the kingdom. He's going to say to you, inasmuch as you didn't do it to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous to life eternal. They're going to enter into the kingdom. You know, it's easy to tell. A pastor told me one time, it's very easy to tell the difference between sheep and goats. Sheep go, bah. Goats go, but. You know, I'd like to tell you about Jesus. Jesus is the only way. Oh, but I think there's a goat. You know, the truth is, you need to do what God says. But wait, and there's a goat. Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow. He'll separate at one time. Those who will go through the great tribulation period, not all of them will enter into the kingdom, that 1,000-year millennial reign. Only those. And it'll be based on what they did or didn't do during that time. Your salvation, your life, is not based on your good and your bad. Your salvation is based on Jesus Christ alone. We're free. It's a time of grace. Remember these things. Jesus was answering three questions. When will these things be? The destruction of Jerusalem. What will be the sign of your coming? And what will be the sign of the end of the age? The end of the age, of course, it ends then. We go into a millennial reign, the 1,000-year reign of the King of Kings, Jesus Christ on the throne. He's answered the questions for us. How are you spending your money? How are you spending your time? How are you spending your health and your energy? How are you spending your abilities and your talents? How are you living around other people? Keeping in mind this principle of showing kindness. Remembering to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Remembering these things. Read through God's Word when you get some time. Read through it again. Check and see. Does it really say that? Does it say that? See what God wants for your life. Listen to Him. Pay attention to the Lord. If you've been holding out on it, if you've been robbing Him, there is no way to go back. See, time is gone. There's no way to go back. But the great news is He loves you, and you start today. I can't make up for yesterday. I took an art class in high school. I can't draw. But I thought it would be an easy credit. You know, you guys never did that, I know. I'm proud of you. I took it because it would be an easy credit. I failed it. It's on the records, on high school records. I failed it. I couldn't draw, and I wouldn't show up a lot. So what I'm trying to tell you is, I could try and develop things that I don't have an ability to do. And I could spend a lot of money. And I could waste a lot of my time and my talent and my energy. And so there's some things I can't do. And I've had to just resign myself to the fact that I'm going to have to depend on others to draw stick figures because I can't. But God's given people the ability. Many things I can't do. But I want to find out what I can do, and I want to do it for Him. You can do the same. Now, there's something you can do. Seek the Lord. Let's bow our heads together. Lord, we pray. As we worship You, and Lord, speak to our hearts. Thank You for the reminder that what I have is Yours. I don't have to worry about it being stolen or taken away. We have to take care of it, I know, Lord, but we know that all that you've given to us, we just want to use for your glory, no matter what it is. And the simplest talents that we have that others might not even notice, we just want to use them for you, Lord. Help us to remember these things. Work in our hearts. And again, we ask that you heal and you strengthen as we worship you in Jesus' name.